Let's go to our first guest. Of course, she is the MP for one of the most dynamic electorates in the country. Of course, also an electorate that's facing some pretty big challenges at the moment. I mean, do we call State Highway 35 a national road of significance? I'm going with yes, we must. But anyway, we might even talk about that. Of course, I am talking about the irrepressible karaoke singer with the mostest, Kushla Tonight Emmanuel. Welcome, Kushla.
Morning, Matt, and geez, happy 50th wedding anniversary to Dale.
Hey, you know, if it's any fairness to him, my relationships don't last as long as a Powerball draw.
No comment.
Well, you know, the longest I've had recently is the dog, and let me tell you, that dog's gone cross-eyed. Hey, Budget 2026 is upon us. It doesn't seem as if there's going to be a lot in there for Māori. I mean, you know, we're getting a sense that maybe Moana Pacifica, and you're a former rugby executive, you're a former rugby doyen. I mean, are we going to see potentially Moana Pacifica throwing a lifeline, therefore rugby diplomacy, into the narrative?
Yeah, that's a really interesting dynamic. I was asked about Moana Pacifica the other day in an interview and funding, and I mean, my perspective on it is if governments start getting involved in directly funding franchises, et cetera, where does it end? You know, there is a funding model. Naturally, you know, my aroha goes out to everyone involved in Moana Pacifica, especially those who sparked the dream and saw it come to realisation. But I think a lot of people will be surprised if that is what comes out of today.
You know, I was thinking about this the other night because, you know, when Winston comes out and he says help is on its way, you know something's coming. I mean, he already goes up the his own colleague, the finance minister, over the no fees thing. But then again, foreign minister, I remember ping pong diplomacy in the 1970s. We've had panda diplomacy, of course, where the Chinese government sent pandas around the world to zoos. And then, of course, we've got what's going on with PNG and Rugby League, and, of course, the Australian government stepping in to fund a team to enter the competition over there. I mean, I guess, you know, if you think about it, it's kind of like got a track record, but whether or not sports diplomacy should trump things such as housing, homelessness, move-on orders, poverty and education, health system in crisis. I mean, it stands to reason it's probably a little bit of a bad timing thing, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, sport plays, sometimes the role that sport plays in our international standing is quite underestimated, you know, beyond just what we see on the field with the All Blacks, etc. It is definitely a major player in diplomacy and economically as well. Mm. But I think, I don't know what Winston's got in mind, but we do need to be very mindful about the ripple effect that this will have.
Well, I don't even...
Once again, I must acknowledge the impact that not only Moana Pacifica, but Pacifica whānau in general have had on the sporting landscape in Aotearoa. Where does it end? Because then you look at what of the support for the Māori All Blacks, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, of course, we've got Māori tennis, we've got Māori golf, we've got all sorts of different sports going on. Hey, back to Ikaroa Rāwhiti, I've been watching this, what's been going on, of course, with State Highway 35. I mean, I come from across the other part of the island over in Te Kaha, but to get to Gisborne, sometimes you do the long way around all the way through Hicks Bay and Tamia. It stands to reason that there seems to be constant now problems with roading and infrastructure, bridges, transportation networks across that end of the North Island. I mean, is it time for State Highway 35 to get the investment it needs to build resilience versus the piecemeal sort of, I don't know, infrastructure upgrades or even potholing that tends to go on?
Well, definitely. And I think you've raised the point that it's not just State Highway 35, you know, it's through the gorge as Highway 2. And recently, I must commend Trustide Rāwhiti and all the others who wrote their report outlining the economic impact of those roads, particularly this time, the gorge, because sadly, that seems to be the only language that this government understands. Even then, it's fallen on deaf ears. So it's not just about it being a key arterial access for people's employment, for people's access to healthcare and education. It's actually an economic highway as well. Both of them are. But, you know, obviously we know it's going to require a massive investment. So at the very least, some work into the cost of that need to be done.
Because the other thing that we're not seeing necessarily, or I haven't seen anything so far about investing in job creation. We're seeing a lot of jobs, particularly in your electorate, being lost. I mean, the frozen foods manufacturing plants are beginning to wind down. That's having an impact on what's going on in the Hawke's Bay. We're seeing all sorts of different things going on in the regions now, with potential job cuts in the public service and AI and tamir. I mean, is it a case that we need to be investing more in job creation, particularly in your electorate, versus just every day we see another story of another plant or another employee closing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yep, you've mentioned the Hawke's Bay. All up and down Ngā Rārawhiti, people are getting visits from ministers. You know, everything looks optimistic and hopeful, and what's the follow-through? Nothing. So one positive aspect is that people are starting to look at creating their own solutions, which is awesome. You know, ideas should be driven by the people who they serve, but they need to be centrally supported by government as well. So just recently had a really good meeting with some of the Hawke's Bay mayors who all came together, working with growers, etc., to try and keep not just industry but whānau in their communities. Because if people, as we've seen with the Great Exodus over the ditch, people are leaving communities, and that's the quickest way to kill a region. Well, and so that's exactly the sort of things that Labor's Future Fund will help support.
Well, I guess the other thing too is I was reading a report, and we've got somebody on the show tomorrow to talk about this. We're seeing a lift in unemployment for young people in particular in the regions. And one of the places I've been looking at is both the Hawke's Bay, Tairāwhiti, and then also on that spit, you know, when you come around the corner past Hicks Bay, you wind yourself around the coast on the way over to Te Kaha and around there. There seems to be a growing number of young people being unemployed, but not necessarily those sort of job creation programs or pathways to employment. I mean, there's no point, I guess, is there, in helping somebody with putting together a CV if there's no job there to apply for?
Or if there's no opportunity to upskill for what is available. And so I want to give a big mihi to our MP, Shannon Halbert, who's our tertiary spokesperson, who's been doing a lot of advocacy in the space, particularly around NEETs. You know, they've taken away the 1 year of fees-free training. And some of the communities you've just mentioned, they are where we have the likes of EIT, who, you know, it becomes a doorway. You know, okay, I'll go and do this course. It's free for the year. Next minute, they're a self-employed builder. And so that's been taken away. We've seen Māori trade training taken away. You know, there's just no opportunity. They're meant to be going for growth, but all they seem to be doing is stymieing the growth of communities.
So I guess with that in mind, I mean, the industries in your electorate predominantly, we've got forestry, we've got manufacturing, we've got agriculture, horticulture, but a lot of that's also driven by Māori enterprise. I mean, I think Peter Rātahi Cross, for example, is a bit of a mover and shaker in this area too. I mean, is it a case that if the government's not going to be investing locally, then maybe what we should do is rely more on Māori business, industry and enterprise to do the heavy lifting?
Well, that's and they do in many cases, like you've mentioned, Peter.
Yeah.
And that's why progressive procurement, which again, this government cut, which allocated a portion of government contracts specifically to Māori companies, was such a powerful thing. And I mean, I see it all the time when I go home up the coast and we see the likes of Tairāwhiti contractors, Parata, etc., who were participants in the progressive procurement process and have trained up many, many locals, kept them employed. And, of course, the dedication to the mahi is different too, because it's their whenua, it's their roads, and they're gainfully employed and keeping the schools open, keeping businesses thriving.
I want to ask you about something completely off-topic, if you like. I mean, this has got nothing to do with the budget. But I was watching some stories on charter schools, and I'm not asking you to either back or support or whatever. I just wanted to get your view. One of the ones I had a look at was Ngāti Toi, and I was watching a piece that Jenny Smeaton was involved in, and it seems that that sort of creative way of engaging not young people, Māori in particular, into the education system, but preparing them for life as an adult. Things that they want to do versus things that we measure them on, like, you know, have you passed maths or, unlike me, school C English? I mean, is it a case that we need to be a little bit more creative about, particularly with rangatahi, instead of being disengaged from school, we find new ways and means of engaging them into a pathway to a career?
Yeah, well, it's funny, I read a book a while back, a few moons ago, and it talked about how education is one of the sectors that hasn't really evolved over the years. And, you know, in the house we hear like, oh, you know, Māori are taking it up, and they are. Mm. And if it works for whānau, it works for the communities, it works for the students, for the tamaiti and their whānau, then that's the ultimate outcome that we're after.
No, you know, it's really interesting because I see what's going on at Tipini, I see what's going on at these other schools as well. I mean, I must admit, I wasn't too much of a fan, I'm not too much of a fan of most ACT policies, I guess, but anything that works for our young people, I say, has got to be something worth trying. Hey, last question for me. I know it's been a very long interview. I'm a little bit more longer than Dale is, you know, although not as obviously long in relationships. Hey, what have been some of the key things that you've been focusing on in your electorate recently?
The main thing is, number one, remaining engaged. Well, and that's it, remaining engaged on the ground. And on that note, I really want to acknowledge my team, because as much as I do try, when we're not in the house, to get out there and be across Ikarua Rāwhiti, every day my team are on the ground covering communities between Wainuiomata in the south and Pōtaka in the north. Mm. And they are the face, you know, with our communities. They're the ones every day helping people find housing, following up with people's health care, sorting out transport, all the things that matter to people in their everyday lives, being my eyes and ears out in our community. So I'm really grateful for that. And when I'm not in the community, bringing back what I've heard in the community met to the house. So that's really important. That's the point of me being here, is to make sure that Ikaroa Rāwhiti's voices are heard in the house, heard in select committee, and heard as we develop policy.
Absolutely. And of course, my sister Rachel was at the Hutbelly Sports Awards the other night. And in fact, I spoke to my mum on the phone yesterday, who had taken the train from Upper Hutt with her brother Paul, now in the 60s. I can't believe these people get on trains and go tripping around like school children. They got the Wairarapa train from Upper Hutt all the way over to Masterton. And I said to her, Kushla, Mum, what did you do in Masterton? Did you go out for lunch? Did you have a feed? And she said, no, we just used our gold card and got on the train and came all the way back again. I said, oh my God, you're teenagers. Bloody teenagers. Mind you, tomorrow she'll be at Orongamai Marae in Upper Hutt trying to win some money on the cards from all those other old ladies that are sitting there wanting to win money off her. Oh, I swear to God. Hey, Kush, great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Good talking to you, Matt, and kia ora koutou katoa.